So every Thursday morning, every single person in the organization can now see exactly what's happening, which is really remarkable. And so instead of having one person trying to struggle to manage a bunch of different things, we now have the software manage it for us. And then we're spending more time on the why and the different questions of like, hey, why are we seeing this information? What does that actually mean? And how do we solve it?
Hi, I'm Glennis Markison from Happy Co. Welcome to Voices, where we feature fresh perspectives in multifamily. The industry is now facing a fundamental shift in workplace dynamics, resident experience, and business operations. In season two of Voices, we'll feature multifamily leaders who are actively embracing change. Our guest today is Jordan Bentley, business analyst for Pacific Living Properties. Jordan joined the multifamily industry after working for 4 years as a database engineer and business intelligence analyst in the software and retail industry. At Pacific Living, he helps teams use digital tools and data to make the best property decisions possible. Today on Voices, our very last episode of season two, Jordan will discuss how he's helped teams leverage digital inspections, dashboards, and more to improve turn and other critical property concerns. Thanks for joining us, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to get started. Just hearing a bit about how you got into multifamily, kind of what most excited you about the first role that you chose.
Yeah, of course. So as you kind of mentioned in that great intro, I came from the software and retail industry, working very heavily with data. And fortunately, when you're kind of in the tech industry, your skills can kind of transfer. And when I was kind of branching out and looking at what I wanted to do over my career, the multifamily industry really fascinated me, specifically working with a smaller company. And that's where I actually got to be in touch with my boss, Joe McCary, who was like, you just came from Amazon. He just came to work in a multifamily business, just like I did. And he was like, hey, you know, the place that we're currently working is looking to grow and scale. And there's a lot of challenges you face in the multifamily industry as it's trying to grow with the world and how tech is growing. And so he's like, do you want to be a part of that? And I said, you know, that sounds fantastic. I can't wait for a new experience like that. And that's what brought me over.
Wow, that's so encouraging. I'm curious, and once you started too at Pacific, I mean, I hear it was almost entirely run through paper. So can you describe some of the challenges there with tracking processes, with efficiency?
Yeah. So when I was first brought on board, McCary, he told me, hey, we have so much paper processes here. And he's very used to working kind of a high tech industry where you have so much that's tracked through software. So when I was kind of brought on board, I was noticing that, hey, like things like a move in inspection, we don't really have great visibility into pictures. We don't have great visibility into tracking that things are even being done, which makes it really hard to do reports and analytics and say, hey, are we doing okay? Are our numbers looking okay? And so that was a huge challenge to overcome. Fortunately, they were already on board with trying to bring out Happy Co on. And so we had you guys for a couple months. So that process was slowly fading, but we'd still had some technical troubles trying to make sure like, hey, let's get everything over to Happy Co. Let's make sure we have things in inspections. We have pictures that we can actually track what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful to hear. And just diving into those costs a little bit more, like I remember you were saying something earlier when we first talked about speaking about one person handling a database or sort of a spreadsheet of everything. Can you talk about some of those costs and just the quality of data at a certain point when you were still in that sort of paper manual transition mode?
Yeah. So, you know, when we're in this transition mode, we had one individual who was managing a ginormous spreadsheet. And then when I would go into her office, she had all these sticky notes of different like work orders or different things that needed to be fixed at like property from phone calls she was having with property managers who were telling her things. She was trying to then put that information in a spreadsheet. And then she was breaking out parts of the spreadsheet to be emailed to different regionals or our executive team. And, you know, everyone's trying to do the best they can. But when you're doing something like this, it becomes very hard to make sure that the information you're getting is accurate. I think back to that kindergarten game of like telephone, where you hear one thing and then you kind of pass it along. And as it gets passed along through so many people, you start to lose some value there and the information becomes a little muddled. And that was a huge issue. And I immediately noticed that right off the bat.
Yeah. And I mentioned too, the time it took for one person to handle all that. I mean, was that like even affecting how much you could anticipate getting done for a unit turn? You probably had to rely in on one person. That game of telephone might've expanded the clock a bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. So you think about the one person, I believe that was her full-time position, was trying to manage all this and make sure the data was there. And we did have a property management software. Right. So while we had a lot of paper processes, we did have some, you have a property management software to handle your accounting and different aspects of your business, but information wasn't always making it correctly in there. So as you kind of mentioned with something like turn times or work order times, sometimes you'd pull a report and you would have a negative turn time or a negative days to complete on a work order. And you're like, wow, man, our team is so good. They can complete this that fast. Like they're going back in time.
In negative. That's the standard. That is the new industry standard for anyone listening.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just crazy. And so you're sitting there and, you know, and that's part of the problem is because you have no cross references. You don't have the data accuracy that you really need. Right. And that's why moving to a digital first kind of world is so important. It really helps you understand how your business is actually performing without those crazy outliers that we were kind of seeing from our data being trying to, you know, that telephone game of importing it into our software.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm interested in the play-by-play of that transition from paper and manual to, you mentioned you were using HappyCo for inspections. How did that transition happen as far as what people wanted in templates, what you wanted on the back end? Can you kind of talk about just what all those dreams were when you could finally realize them?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I got to give a huge shout out to my executive team. They have a really good kind of idea on where the world is going. So when I was brought on, they made those steps, right? But they weren't 100% sure on a couple different things. So things like databases and actually consolidating information. And that's where I kind of came in on back end. So they would work heavily on the front end. So you talked about like a template and an inspection. And so for example, like our make ready templates cover everything from your typical kitchen appliances, did you change the locks on the doors? How's the bedroom looking? Does it smell okay? Right. Everything is in that make ready template that they can go check all those like different boxes or different work orders. That then makes it to our software, our property management software, or I can just pull that down and we can actually then be able to track each of those individual aspects.
Yeah, no, that's remarkable. I mean, as far as the efficiency you were starting to see, can you talk about just in the early days of that, when people were latching on, like what you saw possible with how much time things were taking, what people knew at the same time?
Yeah, it kind of goes from all of a sudden you want a report that can tell you something about like work orders and how long is that taking to that report comes out every Thursday. So every Thursday morning, every single person in the organization can now see exactly what's happening, which is really remarkable. And so instead of having one person trying to struggle to manage a bunch of different things, we now have the software manage it for us. And then we're spending more time on the why and the different questions of like, hey, why are we seeing this information? What does that actually mean? And how do we solve it?
Right. And so can we talk about some of these whys with Turn? I mean, everyone listening is like, this is the process everyone wants to refine. What were some of those whys you started finding out and kind of how with the different pieces of the software working together?
Yeah. So the why is branched all over. So a lot of that comes down to we first asked the question, you know, is there a huge amount of work orders? Do we not do a great job on preventative work orders? You know, what's actually going on at this asset, this property? Or, you know, maybe are we stretched too thin? Is it, you know, we have one maintenance tech and those guys work freaking hard and he has covering so much space. Do we have an issue of, you know, we need more help there? Is it a budget issue? You have all these different kind of constraints that are coming into play. It ends up being really on the regionals and the executives to be able to kind of come together and work with HR and different teams to figure out how do we solve those. But again, it comes down to before it was hard to see those kind of whys and now we can see them.
Yeah. And I understand too, you use a lot with insights to be tracking things in a way that you categorize. Can you talk about some of that just in these things that you're categorizing where you can decide, wow, like this actually might be a garbage disposal issue that's super persistent on a property. I mean, that's so interesting. You can get that specific.
Yeah. That's so funny that you bring up the garbage disposal. We actually have culture meetings at my company. It's really important for our executives and for the whole team to come together. And so during one of these culture meetings, they're across the whole organization, So you're going to be in there with anyone from a maintenance tech to the property manager to, you know, someone like me who's just in front of a computer all day, a business analyst. And in one of those meetings, I was actually sitting at a table with a maintenance tech. And we were kind of talking about, you know, what are some of the troubles that we face in the day-to-day kind of operation? And he was actually bringing up that garbage disposal was one of the biggest issues he was having at his property. I thought that was so funny because I can't remember the last time my garbage disposal broke. Maybe I'm really lucky, but I can remember a lot of other things. And so it's funny because when he brings up that story, I was able to go straight back to Insight, which is where you can pull down all this data from these incredible inspections and reports that we do. And I was able to actually go and categorize our different categories that we have on our make readies, on our move out inspections. And I was able to break it down into a nice pie chart. And I was actually able to notice at this specific property that he was talking about, like, oh, wow, garbage disposals really are. Like, there was a lot of garbage disposals that were checked as, hey, they needed work. I thought that was so crazy. And all of a sudden now on our main dashboard, we have a different breakout of all the different categories.
Wow. No, that's so helpful. And I understand, too. I remember something you mentioned about compliance issues, that when people thought, oh, I don't know if I want to move to software, like I'm comfortable with paper, I'm comfortable with forms. I know there was something you mentioned about a person who suddenly said in an email chain, like maybe this was a good thing to have in this instance. Could you reveal for listeners what that might have been on the ground?
Yeah. You know, part of moving to a software is people get really complacent in their ways, which is great. Now, sometimes it's hard to kind of change your process. But there's a lot of benefit to moving to a software, and sometimes you actually need to see that yourself. So we actually had an example down in California where, unfortunately, we had a dispute with the tenant over a security deposit at the end of a lease. And that actually went to court. And when it went to court, we had a HappyCo inspection, and we had the pre-move-in inspection that showed pictures of the whole unit. The owner showed everything was in tip-top shape right before they moved in. That was signed by that resident, which immediately won us a court case. It was kind of crazy. And that kind of incident that happens sparks real value, and then people really see it. And then instead of just being a new process, it's like, oh man, I have to have this.
Wow. Yeah. And I really want to touch into culture now, culture around the data that you're using, culture that you've built up in your maintenance team at Pacific Living. Can you talk, like, circling back a bit, you talked about these whys of what you can find out that's roadblocking, even something like all this preventative maintenance with garbage disposals. How are you phrasing conscientiously, like, what you're finding? Because it is hard, I'm sure, to hear a number about how long turn is taking and then take it in a kind of disheartened way instead of wanting to feel empowered to improve the process. So can you talk a little bit about what you've done at Pacific Living to phrase your findings thoughtfully?
Yeah, so you completely nailed it. Sometimes in this line of work, data can be seen in a very negative form because sometimes a number might not be looking great. You might be like, oh man, now here at Pacific Living, we were trying to hit a 72-hour completion time on work orders, which can be really, really tough. Like that's hard to do. And so when you see your numbers and they're not quite hitting that, it can be very disheartening. And so I always try to tell the teams, and I tell my regionals, I tell maintenance, I tell property managers, I'm like, hey, no, it's all about the why. Everyone just wants to know, hey, what is happening? Why is this happening? And then how can we fix it? And we want to do this together. You know, you're not on your own. You're not on an island. Again, this is just so that way we're all on the same page. That way we can move forward together, trying to make the best possible product or make the best possible decision with the situations that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really wonderful. And I understand there are other ways, especially with a new hire at Pacific, that you've done a lot to create a positive, tight-knit culture. Can you talk about some of those specifics so someone listening can say, okay, if I tried a new software and there was a little pushback, but we could prove things with reports, what else does it take to make people feel good as they're working on software or not in maintenance?
Yeah, so we actually brought on a new training director. Her name's Yolanda, and she's fantastic. She was brought on by our CEO, Jeff Miller, who's worked with her, I believe, in the past. And she does a great job of bringing people together through these culture meetings, through sending out very inspirational emails and funny pictures and having these different meetings that, you know, every month we can come together and we can praise people, right? Or we can go over things that, hey, like, we're not seeing this happen in the software. Let's talk about this. And we can actually help train and do different things. And it's been incredible because having someone in that kind of role that's helping promote a positive culture is really important, especially in this kind of line of work where, unfortunately, most property managers, they might either have a very small team at a location or they might even be by themselves. So they can kind of feel like they're out on an island. So having that community and trying to build up that culture is incredibly important. And again, I got to give all the credit to, you know, our executive staff, especially Yolanda, for coming in. And that's not an easy job to pull off.
Yeah. And I understand too, is that you mentioned something about a superstar report. That just sounds so great. Can you talk a little bit, maybe examples you've seen or even how you've seen that person who's featured kind of, I don't know, different skip in their step after they were honored like that?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when she was brought on, she actually asked me, she's like, hey, like, it'd be so cool. She used the phrase superstars a lot. And then she asked me for a particular report. This report was over, like delinquency. However, we use the same kind of template for a couple different things now, like work orders, et cetera. And so I kind of took that and I ran with it. I was like, you know, I can actually make a report called a superstar report and throw up, you know, a bunch of stars and actually use a little bit of my design skills to make something look like it belongs to a superstar. And then your names appear up in the stars and it looks really cool. And we can, you know, produce that. And we produce that every single month to, you know, our people. And they get really excited because you're now praising people on the data. So it actually has real value instead of it just being a floating number out there somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's so wonderful. I mean, you're using it to solve problems, but then you're also making it the people who do solve those problems feel really validated, you know, which I think is turnover such a thing in multifamily and other industries. And there's so much stress happening now that, you know, that must really bring like a lightness to the work, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think it's a process, right? You're trying to constantly build up that culture. It's not something that happens overnight, but it's something you constantly work on because you are working, you know, together and trying to build that up is super important.
Yeah. And I'm curious, speaking of kind of a positive culture in a sort of stressful time, I mean, has working from home, has it done anything for your perception of the multifamily industry that maybe without that sort of time to think at your desk every day, you might not have realized how this remote work has just changed your view on the industry, if it has, if any?
Yeah. You know, my previous careers, my previous jobs have all been great. However, you know, during this kind of time, like March 19th, 2021. So we're still in the middle of the COVID crisis. It's been really inspiring to work in an industry where you are not, where you are a necessity, not like a luxury good, meaning that your apartment, your building, your asset that people are living in, they need you, right? They count on you to show up every day, even though that you're in a crisis. And that is really inspiring to see like our maintenance team, to see our property managers, you know, that show up to work every day, trying to do the best that they can for our residents. And it's really incredible to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that story and just for joining us on Voices to talk about the way that numbers, you know, they don't have to be scary. They can be really empowering and maybe lead to a superstar report. So I really appreciate your being on today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks so much for listening, everybody. This was actually the last episode of season 2. So we're about to start season 3. Get ready for a whole new theme about problem solvers. And if you'd like to hear more from Voices or learn how to share your voice, head to voices.happy.co. You can find Voices on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Voices is produced by HappyCo, the leading real-time property operations platform for multifamily and student housing. We're on a mission to elevate property management to community management, prioritizing staff and resident well-being. That starts by listening to you, the voices of multifamily. I'm Glennis Markison. Thanks for listening. Also, feel free to take a minute and rate or review this podcast. That will help us share the voices of multifamily.